You're listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, where we talk to the individuals that help move our party forward. I'm your host, Executive Director Chris Spengel. You can hear all of our podcasts at podcast.lpin.org, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Financial support for this podcast comes from the 1994 Society. The 1994 Society is made up of grassroots libertarians like yourself that donate monthly to the Libertarian Party of Indiana. To join, please go to lpin.org/join. We thank you for your continued support. Welcome to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. I am here with Vice Presidential Candidate Judge Jim Gray. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
Well, it's just good to be with good people, and it's always good to talk about libertarianism and two libertarians.
Talk about a little bit about your background. Tell us about yourself and how you ended up becoming a Vice Presidential Candidate. I imagine in high school you never thought you'd be in this position, did you?
I didn't think that 4 months ago that would happen to me. But, you know, when I graduated from UCLA, I went into the Peace Corps in Costa Rica. Thereafter, I was in law school, but was being drafted immediately. It was the height of the Vietnam War. So I actually joined the Naval ROTC, and when I graduated from law school, became a Navy lawyer, Navy JAG program. After that, I was a federal prosecutor in Los Angeles in private practice for about 5 years, and then was appointed to the bench at the end of 1983. I was a trial court judge in Orange County, California for about 25 years, retired at the beginning of 2010, and involved in private mediation and arbitrations. But as of 1992, while still on the bench, I actually held a press conference and said that our nation's drug policy is not working. We simply must change it. I've been speaking publicly and actively ever since. The reason I bring that up now is that in 1999, although I'd never heard before of Governor Gary Johnson from New Mexico, he had conducted what he called his own audit and then held a press conference and said the same thing, that what he has seen, our drug policy wasn't working, we had to change it, and actually promoted and put in very advanced things with regard to this whole issue during his time as governor of New Mexico. So I got to know him. They had a drug policy forum there about 30 days, 60 days later. I was asked to speak. I did. Got to know him. I've been following him ever since. And when he started running for president, I called him the most qualified person to be president of the United States that I know of. That was true then. It's still certainly true now. And it's been so difficult to see what's going on with Obama and Romney, knowing just within me that Governor Gary Johnson is exactly the type person that the United States needs now, and we're not going to be elected on Tuesday. But he asked me to be his running mate. I guess I said my comments too often, and he asked me, so then what am I supposed to say? But I said, yes, we will, on the condition that we run to win. We have been running to win, but that included having to have been a part of the presidential debates, the three for president, one for vice president. Since we were not, we will not be seen as viable. We just need to rally together, tell everyone, let's at least get our 5% in this election so we'll be entitled to federal matching funds. That's fine for the money, although it philosophically doesn't go with me, but nonetheless, it will give us legitimacy so that when the libertarian candidates go forward, we'll be able to be seen as players, and then they'll start listening more and more to the libertarian approach. And honestly, and I'm going to try to get Governor Johnson to run, and I will try to run as well if I have anything to say about it in 2016, the people crave what we would do. They crave our responses to these various issues, and they will continue to look at them in the next 4 years as, regretfully, I believe our country will continue to get in worse shape. I hope it isn't true, but I fear it will be. That'll be good for our campaign, but not good for the government. But we're all going to rally together and do the very best we can for the United States of America. That means implementing libertarian approaches that are not being done now.
When I look at federal matching funds, I can voluntarily check off that $3 box. And so it isn't as egregious as, you know, taking tax money away. What are some of your philosophical grounds towards that? I look at it and I go, well, that would be a tremendous opportunity for libertarians to get millions of dollars, you know, in that race.
Well, I think I stand corrected. I think you're right because it is voluntary. I just conceptually don't like the idea of the government being involved in politics. Maybe that's too purist, but at least, like you say, it's not required money, that's voluntary money. But I think the farther away the government stays from politics, the better. But this is one of the least egregious.
Yeah. So, and I think there's a conversation going on within the party about that, so I appreciate your thoughts on it. Talk about what it's like to run for vice president, the process of it. How you guys keep up, both you and Governor Johnson and your teams. It's just a constant motion, isn't it? It's got to be tough. How do you keep up the schedule, and what's the schedule like?
Well, it certainly can. I usually travel at night or early morning, so that makes it hard. But I believe in this. So I'm here to tell you, it's the most exciting thing that's happened to me since the birth of my children. However, it's also the most frustrating, because I see that we have what the United States people need and our government needs. We're in trouble today in so many areas, not only for economic and our budget, and then Social Security and the whole Medicare, medical system, and the immigration system. It just goes on and on. But also our soul, which is, again, we clearly know as libertarians, our soul is our freedoms and our liberties, and they're under attack by our very own government. So it's enormously frustrating to me. We need to be better organized. We need to give more lead time to people before the governor and I go places. You need to have 3 weeks, a minimum, of lead time so you can galvanize the receptions that we really need and get the media and the rest. We need to meet with the editorial boards of local newspapers. We need to be actually in the studio with radio talk show hosts, because they're a lot more interested in doing that. Thereafter, they'll let you do it on the telephone. But we just need more organization, which means we have great people. Put yourself in my place. I go around the country meeting such great libertarians, dedicated, caring, successful, energetic, but there just aren't enough of them. So we need to organize more. We need to get local candidates elected. Certainly Rupert here in Indiana is a great example, and that's even a higher level than we need to start at. We need to get local libertarians elected to school boards, to water districts, then the legislature, etc. We need to start electing people, and in 2014, that's my prime goal, is to help the Libertarian Party find the top 25 candidates around the nation. I don't care what it's for. I don't care where. It can be in Arkansas, New Jersey, Nebraska. I don't care. We need to focus our resources on those 25 electable races and get them elected, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think the heart and soul of the Libertarian Party is at the grassroots level. It's at the county party level, and, you know, any complaint that I ever get about the performance of a candidate or an organization within the Libertarian Party, I look at that person, I say, well, what are you going to do about it? So we are the Libertarian Party. Talk about Indiana. What if this is your second or third time here this cycle, third time. So talk about some of your impressions of the Indiana Libertarian Party and the Hoosiers that you meet here.
Well, I have seen the Indiana Libertarian Party at our various national conventions, and I know that you are very well organized. You and Ohio are probably the two best organized in the country, so it's proud to be able to be here, and honestly, very ingratiated to be your representative running for vice president. You have great people here. Dan Drexler is high on my list around the country as just being one of the best people that we can have, and we have more. So we need that organization. However, again, you need to start electing people at the local offices. And to jump in as U.S. Senator, to jump in as governor, certainly to jump in as president, vice president, it's awfully tough. The way you do it is grow it from the grassroots level, just like you said, but it's inspiring to work with such good people. Unfortunately, you're better organized than most, because you go to other states and they don't have what you do. So you need to continue to lead. Thank you for that, and now work harder.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast, and we appreciate it.
Good luck to us all. And my thunder, we're going to go forward. Our country needs us, and so do our children. We're going to win this thing. Sooner the better. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. For more information, please visit us at lpin.org. Our music has been provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. To hear more of his music, please visit briankeithwallen.com or find him on Facebook. Thank you for listening.